Good day, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Law of Attraction, New Manifestation. For this episode, you know what day it is. It's Tuesday. That means it's time for Tuesday Taoism. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. Hey there, listener. I hope the content on this podcast helps you in your spiritual practice and that it provides inspiration and motivation for you today. You know, I make next to nothing on this podcast, financially speaking, although there are other rewards that I receive and find extremely valuable. If you're able and willing, consider offering a small monetary donation every month. You can do as little as $1 per month or as much as $10 per month. This would be much appreciated and very supportive. I really do appreciate you taking the time to listen. If you are interested in becoming a supporter, just look for a link in the description of the podcast. You'll find it there. Click that link and sign up to become a supporter today. Thanks again. All right, Tuesday Taoism. Let's get into this. I have been reading from the Tao Te Ching, considered the foundation book for Taoism. And we are up to week 35, chapter 35. Amazing, we've come this far. I don't think I've ever mentioned it, but this book has 81 chapters, so we still got a ways to go. For those of you completely new here, I say this every time on my Tuesday Taoism series and my Zen stream on Sundays, is that when we approach Law of Attraction and we are looking to manifest desires, I tend to look at desires as seeds that we are planting and we water with our Law of Attraction techniques, right? Like affirmations, visualizing, scripting, maybe 5x55, acting as if, all these different kind of classic tried and true Law of Attraction techniques. We use those to water this seed and we hope that the seed grows into an amazing manifestation, right? But what about our soil, our overall vibration, our vibrational environment? We may have wonderful seeds of desire. We may have amazing Law of Attraction techniques, but if we are not doing something to maintain our soil, so to speak, our vibrational environment, then you could experience some issues when it comes to seeing that seed of desire grow into the manifestation of your dreams. And for me personally, I have found that the material that comes out of Taoism and Zen Buddhism is just amazing for tending that soil, becoming more mindful, becoming more present moment centered, becoming more aware of our connection to source, feeling more grateful, and really untying those knots of thinking we sometimes get stuck in, stepping off that mouse wheel we often jump on in our minds. This material just does wonders for that, really getting resistance out of the way. So in that spirit, I decided to launch these two series, Tuesday Taoism and Zen Stream on Sunday. And I really hope it's helping you in that endeavor. So the Tao Te Ching is a book, as I say, every Tuesday. It's written 2,500 to 3,000 years ago, been translated hundreds, if not thousands, of times. And this translation I'm reading from is by a gentleman named Stephen Mitchell. And keep in mind, translations vary a great deal. If you pick up two different translations of the Tao Te Ching and you read the same chapter in each translation, you may notice some significant differences. And I like this translation. I feel that the author interpreted the original text in a way that really resonates with me. And so I've been reading out of this particular little book. In case you're looking for it or you want to pick up a copy, it's the one by Stephen Mitchell, okay? If you're interested in a little more of the background of Taoism, you can always listen to the first in the series here and listen to them all, really. And you also find the first of the series on the YouTube channel, Dreams Warp, I mentioned a little while ago. So you can also look for it there. But it is overall basically considered or believed that Taoism merged with the Buddhism that came from India way back then, so again, 2,500 to 3,000 years ago. And when those two came together, it kind of gave birth to Zen Buddhism. which I happen to practice in my own personal life. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and read this to you. Chapters are very, very short. We are on chapter 35, and then we'll discuss it a little bit, and hopefully we get something good out of it. All right, let's do it. Chapter 35. She who is centered in the Tao can go where she wishes without danger. She perceives the universal harmony even amid great pain, because she has found peace in her heart. Music or the smell of good cooking may make people stop and enjoy, but words that point to the Tao seem monotonous and without flavor. When you look for it, there is nothing to see. When you listen for it, there is nothing to hear. When you use it, it is inexhaustible. And that's the end of the chapter right there. This one, and I'm reading it now, and I read it a little bit ago just before I started recording for the podcast, and this one's a little murky. I find it, at least me personally, there's some symbolism and some different things going on that I think can be interpreted in a lot of different ways. But one thing that jumps out to me just right away is in different, you know, with different Zen teachers and Zen masters that I've spent time with, I heard a, how do you call it? It's not a story. It's more like an idea. I guess a metaphor is a good word. And they said, you know, when a finger points to the moon, you don't stare in awe at the finger, right? The finger is not the moon, right? The finger points. And the awe-inspiring thing in that is the moon itself, the experience of the moon. And we often use these, you know, you hear people speak, you know, about spiritual stuff, and you know, you may hear some wonderful messages from individuals, and all that is great. I mean, that's nice. You know, I find it very inspiring, very motivating. But we cannot confuse the words for the experience of Source itself, using Law of Attraction terms, right? Words are the pointers, right? And I'm not the first person to speak of this. Eckhart Tolle, in his book, Power of Now, talks a whole lot about this. And so we must not confuse the finger for the moon. And I get a vibe of that here when he says, words that point to the Tao seem monotonous and without flavor, right? Kind of saying the same thing. Words that point aren't the Tao. It's not going to bring you that experience of connection with Source or Tao. It was a very, very, very rough translation. When you look for it, there is nothing to see. When you listen for it, there is nothing to hear. Now, these two statements, right, are very, I find them to be very important, because, as I've said so many times here on the podcast and on the YouTube channel, our senses, our five senses, cannot perceive Source, right? Source is so, I remember reading The Power of Now, there's a line in it, I've read that book so many times, I don't remember exactly what chapter it's in, but there's a line that says something like, if a fish were to ask another fish, it's like, I'm paraphrasing, like, water, what is that? It's like they can't see it because it's so close to them, it's so subjective. And I find that when we speak of Source and being connected to Source, it's like, well, where is it? How do I connect to it? Show me the steps, right? What do I have to do? And you could, you know, expound on it for a long time. You can describe the feeling to people. And, you know, if you're good with words, if you're a poet or you're a good writer, you may have a gift for really inspiring others to look for that feeling, to look for that thing that we call Source, that thing that we call connection, that thing that we call presence, using Eckhart Tolle's language, or maybe enlightenment, if you want to use that word. You know, if you're good with words, you can inspire people to search for that and to try to experience that on their own. But the words in and of themselves, like it says here, they are without flavor and monotonous. They are ultimately empty. And it's interesting because our small minds, our rational minds, our linear minds, our problem-solving minds, our ego minds, you could also call, It works through words. It works through concepts. It works through ideas. It's linear in its thinking. It problem solves, just like I just described. So that mind cannot know source, right? Source, connection to source, comes from beyond the senses, comes from beyond the mind. Interestingly, a lot of human beings, I would say most human beings, I think if you're listening to this, definitely you're probably one of these human beings. We know, we have this vague, sometimes it's very clear, but we have some inkling, something from within we can feel, we can sense is pointing towards something beyond what we see, right? This reality that we experience, we have a sense of it, but we can't grasp it. We can't find it. We can't touch it. We can't see it. And that's what he says in those two lines. When you look for it, there's nothing to see. When you listen for it, there's nothing to hear. And I love how he ends it, where he says, when you use it, it is inexhaustible, right? When you're connected to source, when you're vibrating at that high of a frequency where you are so anchored in the present and your small mind is not constantly tripping you up, which it does to a lot of us, right? It's so funny how that mind works and how crafty it can be, right? And this applies so much even in law of attraction practice. I mean, that small mind, that's where resistance comes from. So we desire, we want, and we plan, and we problem solve, and we think, okay, what are the steps? Show me the steps. Show me a technique. Show me, and I hope I'm not coming across here as like, oh, you should never do that. Like that, there's no place for that. Because that's not true, okay? There are some things, the way we master anything and really eventually connect our actions to pure source energy is often through that small mind, through practicing, through learning, through acquiring knowledge, through, you know, being around others, communicating, talking. So there is a place for that mind. The issue is that eventually we come to a point. It's often described in Zen as walking across to the other shore, where that small mind and its chattering and its problem solving and its comparing and contrasting and thinking, where it has to eventually be dropped, it has to be left behind to really reach the other shore, so to speak, to reach it fully, to have that living, breathing experience of connection to source. And that's what I just love about the Tao Te Ching, is that it constantly, almost in every chapter, points, it uses words, which is amazing, okay, the gift that it has to do that. It uses words to point very clearly back to the connection to source. And even as it does that, it tells you, don't look at the pointers. It's not the finger. It's not these words. And that's what he says here very, very quickly, very, very clearly. Words that point to the Tao seem monotonous and without flavor. He says it right there. Now, I'm actually kind of working this in reverse, right? So I started talking more about the end. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about the earlier sections of this, because I think it just makes more sense for purposes of discussing this little chapter. So I'm going to get into that in just one second. I just need to pause here for a minute for a word from a sponsor. I will be right back. All right, everyone, I'm back. Thank you for your patience. So like I said, we're going to now backtrack a little bit here to the first few sentences, because I think where I'm going with this will just kind of makes more sense to go this way. So let's reread these first couple sentences. She who is centered in the Tao can go where she wishes without danger. She perceives the universal harmony even amid great pain. Now, what is that about? So you could kind of look at this two ways. First is just very, very kind of literally, right? So she who is centered, meaning she or he who is connected to source, who is actually, like I was just describing, is living, breathing the reality of being fully connected to source, can go where they wish without danger. They don't worry about anything. And even amid great pain and suffering, they can see the universal harmony. Now, this makes me think of, you know, like enlightened masters. You know, you look at somebody like Mother Teresa, for example, who really, I mean, if you look at the stuff that she did, the places where she went, and somehow, you know, in the mists of all of that suffering, all of that horror, all of that misery, she still managed to give love, give care, help others. And that, I think, is what I think of when I read these lines. And there's a lot of spiritual masters. You look even at stories of Jesus Christ and how he you know, would go to the sick, go to the people who were, you know, the most poor, the ones who were suffering the most, and he would still be able to bring that healing energy. Again, pointing to the same thing that these words point to. And then he also says here a couple lines. He says, music or the smell of good cooking may make people stop and enjoy. I think he's using that as sort of a juxtaposition with the next two sentences, which is, but words that point to the Tao seem monotonous and without flavor. So, you know, this, it's funny because during the break back there where I was plugging in the ad that I needed to plug in, I was thinking a little bit about my experience of working with people in therapy. And this may be a little bit of a loose connection, but hopefully it'll help you. You know, I remember people would often come in and they would talk about a painful experience from their past, and they would be using words to describe it, right? So let's say, for example, I don't know, like somebody went through a divorce, lost their significant other, or lost their whole family or something like that. And they would describe, you know, oh, you know, yeah, I had this divorce and it was really nasty. And, you know, I haven't talked to my, you know, my son since, you know, I'm just giving you an example. And, you know, they're talking and they're talking and they're talking and they're saying, you know, yeah, it does hurt me. It's really sad, you know, and all this stuff. And we would often, you know, we would often have to, depending, you know, on how we felt it out. You know, I used to work with another therapist who would co-facilitate. We kind of would tell the person, yeah, you know, you're describing feeling sad, you're talking about painful issues, but I don't really see those feelings. I don't see you bringing us those feelings. And people would struggle so much, not everyone, but most people would struggle so much in understanding what we were talking about. And that's the difference between the words, the pointers, and what is beyond the words, which is the I always feel that source communicates to us through emotion, through feelings. So it's one thing for someone to tell you how sad they are. It's another thing for someone to weep or cry in front of you. You then feel that sadness, right? That's a totally different experience. And words can never capture that. Same thing applies to when you are approaching manifesting, when you are approaching living your day-to-day, moment-to-moment reality, is that if you're too locked up in that thinking mind, and typically you will find that that thinking mind will project into the future, it'll think about the past. It is very rarely fully focused on the present, right? And I'm sure you know that. Truth is that our connection to source, our connection to the Tao, our connection to the universe, whatever words you want to use, connection to God, it is from beyond that small mind. And the words will never get you there. Now, there are a lot of practices that I would highly encourage to help you get more connected. Go beyond the thinking, beyond the words, beyond the techniques, right? And you could find those all over instructions, you know, guided meditations, meditation instructions, because I feel meditation is key to this process. You could find all that kind of stuff all over my podcast, all over my YouTube channel. So just look for it. Be sure, when you go on to the YouTube channel, go into the description of any one of my videos, get your free subliminal that can also help with the process. Look down there in the description also for links to my Twitter, my Instagram, where you will find 1 minute motivational videos that I put up a couple times a week. Plus, when I upload new videos, I usually post on Instagram and Twitter as well, letting everybody know. You'll also find a link there in case you want to book any one-on-one time with me for chit-chat, questions, full-on coaching, whatever you need. By the way, if you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, another great way to support the podcast is to leave a nice review. That would also really help me out. So again, I just want to thank you so much for listening. I hope you found the content of today's episode helpful in your practice. And stay tuned. Tomorrow, I'll be bringing you another Law of Attraction episode. Have a great day.